able to have an expectation because your presence is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have some worship to begin with tonight and then after. But I'll start off with just giving you a little bit of a testimony. Some of the things we did there. Sunday we're going to have a full slideshow. You'll have photos, everything. But one of the things we did is we had three different pastors' conferences set up that we spoke at. And I didn't realize this, but two of them were for more of the city pastors. One was the tribal pastors that we've done before. But the two city ones were pastors combined from all different denominations. And there, like a lot of places in the world, when you have a foreigner come in, just the fact that a foreigner's coming, it will draw people that normally wouldn't come together. So we had conservative Baptists. We had Methodists. We had, there were a couple of Pentecostals in there, just a couple, right, were in there. We had Missionary Alliance, and a lot of these different ones that just weren't introduced yet to the Holy Spirit. So it was fun to watch as the Lord orchestrated everything to where he took the conservative out of the Baptist, you know, and just by learning, you know, one of the things the Lord led me to, and I didn't even realize he was doing it, was teaching on the ruach, R-U-W-A-C-H, the breath of God, which is used for wind, it's used for spirit. And a lot of these people that weren't introduced, you know, the Lord had me introduce them just like Jesus did to Nicodemus when he said, you must be born again. He says, what are you talking about? He says, well, he says, you see the wind, you know the wind is there, you feel it, but you don't see it. It's the same thing. Everybody that's born of God, you know, it has this wind that comes in their life. And so we began to teach them about the wind of God and the breath of God. And we taught them in John 20 when the Lord came in to the disciples. We're in the upper room, and they were all afraid. They were disappointed. They had heartache because they just saw Jesus crucified, and their whole life they thought was ended, and they had no hope. And Jesus came in, and he said that he breathed on them. And it was that very breath that brought them from disappointment to expectation at Pentecost. It was the breath of God that brought them out of their fear into the boldness that had Peter stand up and preach the gospel the day of Pentecost. And so as we began to do that, guess what happened? The Spirit of God began to fall. And we had people, I mean, the interpreter, I hope we can catch it on video. I don't remember if we have video of him or not, but he was so full. I mean, but his expressions were, you know how I am. I'm just teaching like this. And he's like, you know, his expressions. It was just so fun to watch on the video. But he got to the place he couldn't stand it anymore. He just fell on the ground laughing. He was out of it. And
he's telling the people, this is God. You've got to try this. This is God. This is awesome.
And these were conservative Baptists. And so, you know, the wave of the laughter hit, which, you know, you can't construct that. We didn't teach them, hey, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. People laugh. We did nothing. We just taught them purely out of the Bible about the wind and the breath of God. And so then others were just like crying and just melting in their seats. So it was fun to watch as the Lord began to minister to. It didn't matter whether they were Baptists or Methodists or whoever they were, you know, their hearts were open to receive, and the wind of God came into their lives. It just encouraged us because, you know, how many times do we go, even though we're spirit-filled Christians, you know, how many times do we go without the breath of God? You know, we're just going out of our knowledge. You know, we know about this stuff, and we know God's there, and we know what we should do. We know how we should act. So we're living out of the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know. But yet we are those that have been given the right to live out of the very breath of God. You know, Jesus gave us that example. I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so we have the opportunity you know, of having the breath of God be that which we live out of and what we do and what moves us. And so it just encourages us to see, you know, the fresh breath coming to a people and see the difference. You know, it's like brought from death to life. I mean, just in before your eyes. So it encourages me to seek to live that way, you know. But, you know, we're people that are caught up in a lot of things. You know, the way that our society is, there's a lot of things that distract us, that concern us, that we have to be attentive to, you know. But God, just give us your breath to do so. Amen? You know, those were real issues that the disciples were working with. They had a close friend, Jesus, that they just saw brutally beaten and put on a cross. How can you not be full of anxiety, full of disappointment, full of sorrow? How can you not feel sorrow, you know? But when the breath of God came, all of a sudden now they were given the life to get up, to move on, and to go on as the people of God, spread the gospel across the world, you know. And they were brought from disappointment to expectation. That's what the breath of God does. You realize that? Yeah. It brings you from disappointment to expectation. It brings you from a place of you know, not feeling like you can go on, to a place that now you have boldness. You can believe God afresh. You have expectation. You know, we've all been in places where we know what the Word says, and we know how we should feel here, but it's not matching up, you know? But when the breath of God comes, guess what happens? The word and the expression within your very life match up, you know, and all of a sudden it's yes and amen. All of a sudden it's the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, the Spirit of God is like, come, Lord, let your presence be upon us. And now us as the bride are in agreement with that. And all of a sudden now we're in that place of expectation. And it's an entirely different place to live in than into a place of just, hey, I know it, I'm going to be faithful, I don't feel like it, but I'm just, and God is appreciative of that. But he's so appreciative of those that want to live in that type of life that he comes and he says, look, I'm going to breathe afresh on you, you know. And then, you know, we talked about Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to them. And so they told Thomas, they said, Thomas, you wouldn't believe. Just like the story I'm saying. He breathed on us. And next thing you know, hey, we're just ready to go. And Thomas is like, Thomas is like, yeah, right. You know, if I see it, I'll believe it. You know, and how Jesus went out of his way. Jesus was only on the earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead. And he took special attention to go out of his way to go see Thomas, right? And Thomas, hey, Thomas, here it is. And he was able to, the Lord expressed himself to Thomas. Thomas believed. And then that's what Jesus said, Thomas, you believe, and that's good. But blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. And so we're a blessed people today. Amen? And we have the breath of God because the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's second. Anyway, it says that the first Adam became a living being. The second became a life-giving spirit. And that's where we're born after. And then it goes on to say, just like we bore the image of the first Adam, we get to bear the image of the second Adam. In other words, we get to bear the image of the life-giving Spirit. So we get to be those that are living and breathing the very life of Christ. You know, so we have an opportunity, you know, because of Jesus in our life, to live a life that has the very breath of the Spirit of God in it, and to be alive unto the Lord. Amen? Reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto Christ. We are living and walking and moving in the Spirit of God. Right? And we are the sons of God. It says, those who walk in the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation, you know, is just waiting for the sons of God to become because we are born after and we bear the likeness of the life-giving Spirit. Wherever we go, life goes. Right? just a matter of, do we believe it? Because if we believe it, it's ours. The work of the kingdom, Jesus said, is simply just believe. And then you get in the flow. Tammy was talking to me today about the flow. You know, just getting in the flow of what God's doing. And when you're in that flow, it's like the sweet spot. You know, everything just seems to be clicking. You know, you can just get in the flow. And what puts us in that place of getting in the flow is by believing. And we come and we believe and we cry out to the Lord. He breathes a fresh breath on us. We are quickened and we become part of what God's doing. Amen? And we're not just to be spectators. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is where? It's within us. And so then he was teaching them. He said, you know what? Those who believe out of their innermost being are going to flow rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit that was yet to come. And that is now here. So the flow of God gets to go. We get to be in it, and it gets to flow through us. And so wherever we go. And it was funny, when I came in, Chad comes running, Chad Gates, from way over here. Pastor Pete, hey. He says, did you have good travels? I said, yes, I did. I had great travels. He says, tell me about some of those miracles. You know, did you see any demons get cast out? Did you see people get healed? Did you see? And I said, Chad, I said, yeah. I said, everywhere we went. What? Everywhere you? I said, yeah, everywhere we went. There was all of that stuff happening everywhere we went, day and night. You know, we were just set apart, and that was the purpose, and that's why we were there. And wow, you know, he said, one of these days I'm going to go, you know. And so he's so excited to hear. But that's the life that's available to us, you know. And yes, we're living in a society that squelches that because we've embraced things that actually inhibit that belief that we have. And we've embraced things. And being in the midst of tribal people that are sold out for Jesus, one, they're in tribes. They have very little, you know. Some of these still come from the places where all they have is ox pulling carts and dragging wooden sleds. And all they can do is farm and raise livestock, and they live in sticks. Okay, that's no electricity, no running water. This is how primitive it is. But then they sell their life out to Jesus, right? Think of that. Now, the purity of that. And there's no compromise. It's either Jesus or not Jesus. You know, there's no compromise. And they even get tested because they're in a place that is Muslim-controlled. So if you can confess that you are a Christian, guess what? You are open for attack, you know. And so now you take these people and the purity and how their life has been sanctified, and you put them, 400 of them, in a room and say, let's worship God. Guess what happens? It's like an explosion, you know. And when you have an explosion like that, you know, it's not just an explosion that you can hear audibly. It engages your spirit. I mean, you light up from within, you know. And in the worship that we had, and I was telling Dave a little bit about this, is, you know how when we're in worship and all of a sudden you feel an intensity coming on, and one or two people start first, and then it kind of goes through, and you get maybe half of the congregation gets a little more intense and then backs down. Well, let me tell you, the Lord had fun with this, because when he decided to move, guess what? All 400 at once, the intensity went, rawr! I mean, it was like, it was instantaneously. And it was wave this way, and it would wave that way, and it would go up in intense. And Sherry says, one of her testimonies, she says, I was taken to depths of worship I didn't even know existed. You know, it was just, and we all have that testimony. It was incredible. But, you know, when you're in the midst of a people that are set apart that way and have been willing to pay a price that way, and you begin to get in the flow of the Spirit there, it has an incredible effect on you. Amen. Spiritually. And it's quite a revelation of where we're at. You know, I'm like Isaiah, Lord, you know, who am I? You know, I am so unclean. You know, I live in amongst an unclean people. Don't take offense. And, you know, woe is me, you know, Isaiah chapter 6, you know. But the Lord takes the coal from the altar and touches your lips. And then you realize, you know, that you are now able to be set apart for his purpose. And you say, God, here I am, send me.
Yes.
You know, and yes. So we, you know, as a nation, we've got to realize that we have compromised to the place that we don't even realize it. You know, I don't realize it in my life. There's areas in my life that limit me living in the place that these people live, simply because I've been affected by the life around us. And we've done a good job. Tell the person beside you, you've done a pretty good job. But you know, it's part of the environment we're in. You know, so what revelation I get out of that is that the word needs to be preached like it's never been preached before. I mean, we got to get back to the gospel that says, you know what, if you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it. You know, we've got to get back to the gospel that says, you know what, I am crucified to Christ, nevertheless I live. We have to get back. The gospel has to be preached like it's never been preached before, because we live in an environment, you know, that wants to pollute us and control us and limit us. So the gospel is what, you know, is the sword of the Spirit that is able to separate, you know, the soul from the spirit. It's able to free us from the soulish things of life so that we can be free to be in the spirit. And the worship, our worship, we have to continue to be in a place that God, you are worthy. We have to encourage each other. You know how the scripture says that we need to gather. In James, it says that we need to forsake not the assembly and gather even more together as we see the day approaching. Yes. Because the days are getting evil, because, you know, the things that are going on, you know, and it's not that we're bad people. It's not that we're choosing evil. It's just that we live in a place that we're constantly, you know, being affected by the world around us. We can't help it. But what we can do is we can run to the Lord, and we can, you know, get real about his word, real about his worship, passionate for him.
Yes.
You know, we have to have that. And the Lord will breathe a fresh breath on that. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord will breathe on that. The Lord will not leave us hanging there. You know, we go up for the high five. He will not leave us hanging. He will make the connection. You know, he's desiring to make connection with us. He's desiring to empower and enable our lives to be intense for him. Amen? And we're all in a process. And the end result is when we see him, we'll be like him. You know, but all of this in between is necessary for him to be able to produce the new creation that he desires. For him to end up with what he desires is a creation, as one that is like his son, one that has, you know, has been purified and sanctified and set apart, and to be that new creation, you know, it's not just what he did in the garden for Adam. I don't want to get back to where Adam is. I want to be that new creation out of the second Adam, the life-given spirit that God created. The first Adam was a living being. That's great. We all have that. But I want to go beyond that. I want to go to the life-giving spirit of the second Adam, which is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to worship him, and I picked out some songs. I wasn't sure if Dave had them, so I kind of put some just in case. So to be honest, I don't even remember which ones they are. So, but what's important is we just want to be before the Lord, worshiping him and exalting him, and just allowing his presence to fill our place. You know, the Lord says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And where two or more gather, he is in the midst of us. So he's here right now. So we're not singing about something that's good to sing about. We are singing to somebody who, you know, the words that we sing, you know, couldn't even describe the worthiness of our Lord. I mean, I can't remember what songs they are, but I'm telling you, you know, if they're words, they fall short of the glory that he deserves, you know. But let's let our hearts be just released to him, and let the worship from our heart come forward, and let that be our praise and our worship tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dave, whenever you're ready. Let's all just stand up so we don't fall asleep. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord.
You say to us, seek your face. Our hearts reply, your face we teach us, Lord, reveal your ways, anoint us for the greater thing.
We have gathered with warm thirst and hunger, we're here to drink of glory.
Fill this place, all this place, come and fill.
The sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon forever all my days. Hallelujah. I will sing it to you. Hallelujah.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Promise good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever. You are forever.
Lord, we worship you tonight. God, we exalt you, Lord, above all. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you have called us, Lord, to yourself, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have invited us, Lord, to be where you are, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm.
Oh,
hallelujah, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Bless you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We honor you as the God that you are, Lord. We recognize you, Lord. Lord, we are awakened, Lord, and we say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, you have imported into our lives from heaven, Lord. And you have given us revelation of the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, you have allowed us to taste and see of your goodness. You have placed eternity in our hearts. Lord, you have changed us and transformed us. You have renewed our mind, Lord, our thinking, our processing. Lord, you've allowed us, Lord, to have our affections, Lord, to be set on things above. Lord, you've given us, Lord, that gift, that grace of faith within our hearts, that Lord, we cry out, Abba, Father. We know, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We know, Lord, that we have nowhere else to go but to you. You alone have the words of life, O Lord. You alone, Lord, your word alone, Lord, is what gives us life, Lord. We have nowhere else to go. And so, Lord, we thank you for awakening our hearts, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
Lord, no other way could this possibly be done. Lord, the incredible miracle, Lord, of drawing our hearts to you. What an incredible God. What an awesome God. Lord, you will be worshipped throughout all eternity. Because, Lord, your glory, Lord, goes beyond. Your glory, your train of your glory fills the temple, Lord. Lord, those that you bring, Lord, in the wave of your glory, Lord, totally fills, Lord, the corridors of heaven. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. All glory belongs to you. There is none like you. Perfect in every way. Righteous and true. There's none like you. Our God. Our God. Our God. Our God that art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. None like you. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Pastor, I'd like to welcome you back. You and your wife.
Thank you.
And, you know, the elders did a nice job of ministering in your absence. I look around, you know, in the sanctuary, and see my church family, I feel comfortable, I feel loved, and I feel part of this, you know.
Amen.
Tell you what, in the last couple of days, was filled with a whole lot of bad news.
Mm.
A whole lot of bad news. The enemy attacking my family from all different directions. You know, but I tell you what, I came this far, and I'm going to keep holding on.
Amen.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And make things happen and turn things around. So, you know, a lot of times it looks real dark at first, but when God steps in, he brings in the light.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You got your name written in the Lamb's book of life. You know, then you can look forward to heaven, that glorified body.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we're going to see him face to face.
That's
we're
right.
We're going to have a time. We're going to have a party.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
We're going to have a party.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'll tell you what, I got my mind made up.
Amen.
That's what I got.
Amen. Amen. You know, and the greatest miracle is to watch God in the midst of everybody's desires, everybody's intentions, everybody's got their own, you know, plan, and to see all of that in the world and watch God bring forth his purpose and his plan. That's the greatest miracle, is watching the plan of God unfold regardless of the situation. Regardless of who has their intentions and their motives, God is God, and his will be accomplished. Amen?
That's right.
Tammy.
I just want to say it's a fun time to walk to the church.
Amen, that's right. It's a month that you've been walking to church. That is awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, staying in the family of God, staying in the presence of God, staying where God is exalted. One example we had while we were away is we were in the tribal conference, and they had a man that they asked us to pray for, and they brought him up front, kind of like dragged him up front. He had several, he had ulcers in his stomach that he was bleeding, that he was anemic. And then he had sugar so bad that his organs were shutting down. This guy was in rough. And so we're down there praying for him, and the Spirit of God quickened me. He said, you know, raise up the troops, you know. And so I asked Pastor Ching, I said, just get everybody, you know, just to go before the throne of God and cry out to God. You know, just in this intense roar rose up to heaven. Of all the tribal passages, crying out to God. And right before our eyes, that guy was instantly healed. Instantly healed. I mean, he came back the next day, said, man, I got strength, and he's jumping. And I got videos of these people jumping, and you know, and the only one that could possibly join in, Sherry went down from the stage. And you'll see videos of her jumping up and down with him. But we did a little dancing of our own, you know. They came up and danced with us a little bit. But yeah, in the midst of that, when you're exalting the Lord, when you're in the midst of the body, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, you know, is in the body of Christ. And when you engage that, and the body of God of Christ is moving in one spirit and one purpose to exalt, I mean, that is the atmosphere of miracles. You know, that's where the miracles happen. And the unity of the expression of desire for God. You know, it's not like, you know, everybody's differences and whether he likes this one or thinks this ought to be that way. All that nonsense is aside, and we're here for one purpose, and that is we've got a king that is worthy of our praise. You know, I remember in the Old Testament they talked about David's men that around David. They were men that used to fight each other, but they were united in one purpose. And that was to make David king. And the unity that we're talking about is the unity that says, you know, we might have different opinions, but we've come together for something greater than us. We've come together for a purpose that goes beyond what you think or I think. Jesus is king. And we're here to make him king, right? We're here to raise up his rule, his reign. We sing that, hallelujah, our God reigns. Amen? And in that reign, I will put down every weapon against my brother. You know, in that reign, in giving him full reign and authority means I don't have a right to hold a grudge between anybody because he reigns. And if he wants to deal with that, let him deal with it. He's the one reigning. I'm not. I lay it down that the one king, we come together because we have one motive, and that is that Jesus is our king. Amen?
Amen.
So the miracles that we saw were just miracles because we were in the presence of the Lord. And it was really great, and praise the Lord. God is exalted. Amen?
Amen?
And Terry, I appreciate that testimony and that encouraging word. And we need to keep testifying. We need to keep encouraging one another in these days because we've got more of Christ to live. Remember I said, and the Lord brought me back to this, I don't know, it was a couple months ago, that the life that God has called us to is breathable. In other words, it's livable. It truly has a breath of its own. You know, what God has done in you, he has made your spirit alive. He has given you new birth. He has made you a new creation. And that new creation has breath. That new creation has motivation, has purpose. The new creation has life. Remember, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And when you speak a word, you know, I would have no sound. You wouldn't hear anything right now if there wasn't breath in me. And if I would fall over here right now, how you would know whether I was still alive or not is if you put your hand to my mouth or my nose and you felt breath in it. Amen? And the life of Christ within you has breath. And we as the people of God need to breathe. We need to allow that life to breathe. It's almost like you hope, you know, you were taught as a little kid, don't put plastic bags over your head, right? You know, and I remember years ago as a young teenager, in school they had this thing that they called tensies, and what you would do is you'd breathe in, you'd hyperventilate, and you'd put your hands like this, and someone would come and squeeze you, and it would take all the breath out of you, and you'd black out. Seriously, what a dumb thing! You never did that, huh? Don't try it, because at our age we might not re-kick, you know. Don't try it. But it literally takes all the breath out of you and you black out. That's what happens. But what I was sharing that with you so that you know, I got to bring myself back on track here. I was about ready to black out. Is that the life of Christ within us has to be allowed to breathe. You don't restrict the breath of God. The Bible says to quench not the Holy Spirit. Okay, same thing. But, you know, oftentimes we restrict the breath of God because we don't want to offend, or maybe we don't feel like it, or, you know, so on and so on. We have to let the life of God breathe in it. You know, it's like you're going through a hard time. I mean, you've got to let your spirit, man. I mean, many of you I know have felt this before, where you're going through a hard time, you're down about something, your inner spirit is saying, you know, hallelujah, but yet you're oppressing it because of the situation you're in, you know. But we are to let that inner man breathe and let the breath of that life be what flows out of us, you know. And, you know, in the book of Acts, where it says that when the Holy Spirit came, it said they began to speak as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Okay, and you can't have an utterance without a breath, right? And so what was birthed that day was out of the breath, the fresh breath of God upon them. And we have a life to live out of the breath of God. And that's the life of the Spirit. And we have to stop in my life anyway. I got to stop restricting that breath. I got to just breathe, baby, breathe. You know, take a deep, you ever have someone, you get upset, hey, man, just sit back, take a deep breath. You know, just relax and take a deep breath, you know. And we've got to take the breath of the Spirit, you know, so that we are walking in the life. So we're walking in the life. And the nice thing is the Holy Spirit doesn't have bad breath. It's refreshing. Amen? So the Holy Spirit doesn't have bad breath. Hallelujah. He has good breath. His breath brings forth life and life abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. I just wanted to read something. I referred to this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." And I believe that's now. I mean, you go on to the scripture and it does talk about death being swallowed up and giving us hope, you know, and so on. But it's now, folks. You know, we get to bear the image of the second Adam now in Christ. And we get to have that very breath within us now. We don't have to wait till later. I mean, that's what we have been born again for. You know, I remember the Lord just bringing back to my memory in John 17 when the Lord was praying for us, right? He was praying for those that he was leaving behind and all of those that would believe and come after them. How many believe and are living after the date of the disciples? Okay, so we're included in that prayer in John 17. And he prayed, "Lord, you know, I pray for them, not that you would take them out of the world." How many times, "Lord, just take me home. You know, I'm ready to go whenever, you know." But Jesus prayed, "Lord, don't take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them, you know, while they're in this world." The keeping power of God is the very breath of the Spirit. You know, we cannot live the life that we're called to as Christians without the breath of the Spirit. We can't do it. We know it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, Zechariah. I think it's chapter 4 or whatever. We know it's by the Spirit. It's not in the strength of the arm of the flesh. But it's given to us through the new birth, through the second Adam. We were born into this. We are spirit. If we are Christ's, we're born again, and we are a spiritual creation, a new creation in Christ. And that Spirit has breath. And that Spirit is breathable. It's livable. It's applicable to all of our situations. It is something that we get to enjoy and be part of as long as we are still here on this earth, and actually, you know, forevermore. You know, even while we're still, I guess is the best wording, even while we're still here. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 1, he was talking about himself, he was talking about the Son of Man who is in heaven. But when he was saying that, he was right on earth. His feet were on terra firma. And he was saying, "I'm in heaven," you know, and we are the same, because in Christ we are seated with him in heavenly places. He has gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we may be also. So we don't have to be apart from him. He said, "I don't want to leave you as orphans. I don't want to leave you alone. I'm not going to ever leave you nor forsake you." So we're always in the place of the realm of God in the Spirit. That's why, you know, being created in this new creation is such an awesome thing, is because we are already in the realms of God. We are already living as heavenly beings. Amen? We're already not of this earth. We're aliens. You know, we're not earthly. Jesus said in his prayer, he said, "Lord, you know, they're on earth, but they're not of the earth. They're because they're those that you have given to me, you know, and I've taken everything you gave to me and I've told it to them. Father, let your love be in them. The love that you have for me, let it also be in them. And so now we are this peculiar people, and we're different. Amen?
Amen.
But thank God we're different, because we don't have to be, you know, even though we do bear the image of the first Adam, we still have our sin nature. That image is still alive right now. But so is the image of the second Adam, of the life-giving spirit. So that, what is the image of the life-giving spirit? So the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. So just as we bore the image of the first Adam, we're bearing the image of the second Adam, Christ, the life-giving spirit. So what's the image of the life-giving spirit? What does the life-giving spirit look like? You know, that's up to us to manifest. That's up to us to allow it to breathe, because it looks like all kinds of different things. You know, for us to try to put it in a box and say, you know, this is what it looks like, we would fall far short of trying to, you know, formulate the image of the life-giving spirit of God. It is far beyond what we could ever imagine or think. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, you know. It is beyond our wildest dreams, the life that we get to live in the Spirit. And so it's exciting, so let's live it, amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that life, even as the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews, it said they were looking for a city that was not made of hands. You know, it says if they were looking to go back, they would have had opportunity, but they weren't. They were looking for that city that wasn't made of hands, so they were on a journey, you know. Psalms 84 says, you know, blessed are those that whose eyes focuses on the Lord. They set their hearts on the pilgrimage. It says they'll go through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, and they turn it into a spring of water. And it says that each one appears before Zion, their God in Zion, you know, every day. You know, you realize we are those that appear before God every day. You might say, well, I don't take the time to set myself apart and go to pray to God, so I'm not really appearing before God. No, God has his eye on you. He's watching you. You're appearing before God whether you are even mindful of it or not. He's not taking his eye off you for one
every
second.
Moment.
You know, he's got the hairs numbered. He's watching me. Whoop, there goes another. Whoop, you know, he's watching it every day. Every day he's watching over, you know. It says that the sparrows fall over, and he says he doesn't miss that. And how much more precious are we than the sparrows? If his eye is on the sparrow, I know he watches me. Amen? That old hymn, it's beautiful. And God has his eye on us. So we are those that appear before God every day. You know, we are blessed people. You know, we are the people of God. We are those that he purchased with his blood, that he had his eye focused on when he went to the cross. You know, he was going to fulfill the purpose of the Father because his whole focus was on us. Amen? And it's hard to believe that, you know, a couple thousand years ago when this happened, his eye was already on you. Because he's an eternal God. He knows the beginning from the end. And you are not an accident. You are a part of the plan and the purposes of God. And he's working out his plan and purpose in our life every day. Every day. Whether we know it or not. Amen? You know, there's a certain thing about our will. We do have our will and the right to choose. But I want you to know something. When we gave God our life, he took it. He says, it's mine. And guess what? He has a will too. Right? He has a will. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And there are things that go on with our will and our choices and things that we reap and we sow. But I want you to know something, that God has us in his hand. God has us in his eye, and his eyes upon us. And he watches over us. Amen? We are special to him. Hallelujah. Let's see. We've got 10 minutes yet. Let's see where else we'll go here tonight. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. And what I want to read is verse 31 in Joshua 24. So I'll give you a moment to get there. Hallelujah. Yep. Amen. Joshua. This was at the end of Joshua's life. And what a life. You know, the life of Joshua. Just studying Joshua is an awesome, you know, he was the one that when he went into the tent of meeting, he didn't want to leave. Moses went out full of the glory, and Joshua says, I'm not leaving until I got what he got. All right? Remember the story? He went in the tent of meeting. Moses went out to go see the people. Joshua remained there because he saw Moses speak with God as a friend face to face. And Joshua said, if Moses can have it, that's what I want. And I'm not leaving until I get it. And then when it came his time to shine, and he was part of the 10 spies that went into the promised land, right? He was one of the two, him and Caleb, you know, that were able to behold the things of God. Because he was one that was focused on God. They went in, they were focused on what was going on in the world, but these two guys were focused on what was going on in the spirit. They were looking at what God was doing, not with what the enemy was doing, right? So they said, we are more than able, we're going to take this land, this belongs to, if God says it's ours, then it's more than ours, let's just go. So here Joshua, and then Joshua was the one, as Moses was not able to enter the promised land because of hitting a rock and so on, and then, boom, Joshua rose up as the next generation of leaders. And it says here in verse 31, it says, then Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now, that statement alone is huge. Because if you study the history of Israel, they would rise up, they would worship God till they got what they wanted. They'd turn their back on God, go worship other things, everything else, get them lives in a big mess, right? But all the days of Joshua, it says that they worshiped the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So they continued living for the Lord. Why? It says, and I don't believe this is in here by mistake. It says all of those who had known the works of God. All of those that have known the works of God. Now, for me to know something, I've got to put some attention there. You know, I know if my computer breaks, I go to somebody that knows computers. Somebody that spends their life fiddling with those things, they're the best ones to go to, right? You know, it takes time to be somebody that is understood to have knowledge concerning something. And there's all kinds of different examples you can use of people that have knowledge of things that you don't have. These men served the Lord all their days, and the Lord saying the reason why, and one of the main characteristics about them is they knew the works of God. And in the Bible, Bible's way of knowledge is not simply, you know, reading something and filling our minds with it. The Bible knowledge is knowledge through experience. These were men and women that experienced the things of God. Those are the ones that kept serving God all the days of their lives. One of the keys I believe is important to us is we've got to be a people that spend time to get to know firsthand experience the things of God. We've got to arrange our lives. We've got to be hungering for the things of God. The Bible said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, seek. That word to seek means we're pressing through. We are forcing our way through all the other stuff that's coming at us. You know, you got this stuff in the world coming at us like fast motion films, you know, all these different experiences and different visions and all of this. But in the midst of all of this, seeking God with all of our heart, seeking first the kingdom and letting the rest of everything else be added unto us. These were men that continued to serve God. And what a testimony that is. But they did so because they were those that had the knowledge of the works of God. They knew it was God. And here's the next verse that I'm going to ask you to go to is Matthew chapter 13, if you would. And we're going to be finished with this. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 10. Says, and the disciples came. Jesus was giving parables, teaching the things of the kingdom and giving them examples through parables. And it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them it has not been given. And go down to verse 16. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You see, we've been, it's us, his followers, his disciples, those who believe in him, that have been, it's been given to us to know the things of the kingdom. And we saw how Joshua's men and the children of Israel, as long as they knew the works of God, they continued serving God all the days of their life. There was a keeping power and force in their life of the Holy Spirit as long as they kept themselves active in the ways of God, as long as they kept themselves where they were seeking the works of God and to the experience of God in their lives every day. They stayed true to the Lord and they could serve him. But then Jesus comes on the scene and says, it's given to you to know. He also said in John 15, he said, the Holy Spirit, the Father, is going to give you, and he's going to take what is mine and make it what? Known unto you. He's going to make it manifest in your life. He's going to make it experientially known in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's what Jesus was saying. They can't understand. Even he said, you know what, the Holy Spirit's coming, but the world can't know him. But you'll know him. Why? Because he'll be in you, you see? And it's given to us to know the things of the kingdom because the kingdom of heaven is placed within us. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus is within us. And so as we understand that, you know, you wake up, when you leave this place, I want you to leave saying, you know what? It's the kingdom is given to me. It's given to me to know the things of God. You know, and it's given. In the morning, wake up and say, wow, you know, I am on the face of this earth, but you know what? It's given to me to know the things of the kingdom. It is my inheritance. It is my right. You know, in the book of John, it says that those who believe in him, he gives the right to become children of God or sons of God. You know, that right and the knowledge and a relationship with him has been given to us. You know, and then in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says that we have a treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. You see, it's given to us to know the things of the kingdom. We're kingdom people. It is empowered to us. It is gifted to us to be people that are mindful of the kingdom of heaven and not just the kingdom of this world. It is part of the DNA of this new creation that we've been talking about that's in us, this new creature. You know, we're creatures of the kingdom of God. And it's given to us to know. And in doing that, we are kept. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being given to us as a seal or as a deposit. And the Holy Spirit, who comes to bring the experience of the kingdom, is that seal upon our hearts, that seal upon our lives, that keeps us in the ways of God, that is unremovable in our lives. I guess that's a good word. It's there. So let's enjoy it. I'm telling you what. All hell can break loose. It's going to one day. So what? He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. Fear not. My translation is, so what? I've overcome the world. Life can be as down in the dumps as you can ever imagine it be. So what? I believe that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's given to me to know the things of the kingdom. It's given me to be able to experience the kingdom of heaven right here. And nothing can stop that unless I disengage from it. And how I disengage from the things of the kingdom is I simply engage in the things of the world. I can't do both. Right? The Bible teaches us we can't be friends with the world and friends with God. If we're friends with the world, we're enemies with God. So, in other words, if we're engaged in the things of the world, we're not engaged in the things of God. So we're not with it. So all we got to do is just believe this truth, that the kingdom of heaven is ours. We can be part of it, be engaged in it, be involved in it. It's ours. It's given to us. And it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are. You might say, well, you know, I got this problem. I got these thoughts. I got this and that. I got all of that. Well, hey, tell you what, give the thoughts over to God. You know, they're there, whatever. Just begin to put your thoughts on him. Focus your thoughts. Set your affections, set your thoughts on things above. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, now you're tapping into heaven. It is your right. It is something that Christ has done. It is a miraculous intervention, the power of God, that the excellence of this power may be of God and not of us. Right? 2 Corinthians 4, I think that's verse 8. That the excellency of this power is not us, it's God. It's God that's working. It says that it's the God that caused the light to shine in creation has shone in our hearts to bring the knowledge of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an act of God that you have the right to be able to, no matter where you're at in life, focus on things of heaven. Begin to set your affections on there. And all of a sudden now you're tapped into heaven. Because heaven has tapped into you. You understand that? Because you said yes to the Lord, that the Lord had open access to you, that you gave by your will, you chose him in your life, and he came. And now heaven has accessed your life. It is there. He has placed eternity in your heart. It is there. And whenever you turn to Jesus, it says the veil is taken away. Right? We're out living in the junk of this world. You know, and our eyes are veiled to the promises and the things of the kingdom. But it says the minute you turn back to Jesus, guess what? The veil is taken away. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, because of how God is awesome in our lives and what he's doing and his act of redemption, because he willed it, because it's not according, you've been born again, not according to the will of man, but according to the will of God. And because of that power that works in you, heaven is available. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, the first thing he told them, the first thing Jesus preached is, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These guys didn't repent yet. These guys didn't even, you know their sin yet. These guys, you know, he just, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because Jesus was there to bring forth the kingdom. Jesus is here to bring forth the kingdom. And he who began a good work is faithful, and he will complete it. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each one of our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you for the breath of God within us. We thank you for the ruach, Lord, the breath and the wind of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that brings us from disappointment to expectation, that brings us, Lord, from fear and frustration to joy and excitement. Father, we thank you for your presence in each and our lives. Lord, I ask right now that you'd touch afresh. I ask for the fresh breath and the wind of your spirit upon each and every life here. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.